Welcome to the School of Prayer for today. We are going to study on how to overcome temptations. But that will be our next prayer. Is it prayer point, I'll say? Last time we talked about the will of God, if you remember that. So this time around, we are going to talk about temptations. But before we start to study, as usual, we'll take our declaration of understanding.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, let's just do some Bible reading to start. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. In verse 7, the Lord Jesus said, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do." The focus is not that is the focus here is on repetition. That is what Gentiles do. Don't say your own repetition is not like that of Gentiles. Be careful so that you don't use meaningless repetitions. For they suppose that they will be heard by their many words. We Christians should also be careful not to assume that many words is the reason why we will be heard. Like I said the other time, God is not hard to persuade. What causes delay is us, our own slowness to realign or to properly align with what God is doing. It is not the number of times you utter a prayer. It is that each time you utter it, you are careful to scan your spirit to see whether the Lord is saying anything that you need to adjust in your life. Do you get my point? It's not as if He didn't hear you yesterday. He always hears. He always hears. Sometimes answers to prayer appears delay. All right, they appear delayed simply because, you know, there are a number of reasons. One, we set a time that God did not set. That's one. That's the first thing. And then we don't realize that God is waiting for us. We think we are waiting for Him. Are you getting my point? The people of Israel, they had that problem. When it was time for deliverance had a lot to do with their own adjustment. Ezekiel allowed us to see that one of the issues that Moses had with them was that they had not removed the idols from their houses. Of course, also from their hearts. Okay, but they could see the idols in their homes. They had not removed them. So as God was judging those, God was releasing those plagues, He was showing to them also that the idols they were holding on to were not necessary. The first few plagues affected them, I believe, because at that time, they had not removed the idols. So when they began to remove the idols, the plagues began to go away from them. So if you're experiencing delay in life, let's bear it in mind. It's not because God is hard to persuade. It's because we are slow to align. We are slow to understand what He is doing. Okay? So anytime you are going to pray, ask the Lord, is there a lesson I must learn? Is there a correction I must make? These are the important things about prayer. Now, so let's continue reading. It said, "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Now, when you are going to pray, pray in this way: "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is written in heaven, as it is recorded in heaven, as it has been determined." He said, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And that's one thing I want to talk about today. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. I want to talk about how to overcome temptation. It is clear that prayer is an important part of overcoming temptation. Now, I'm going to stop reading there. He said, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." That's verse 13 concluded. Now, we have been looking at this. Now, when the Lord taught us to pray, we can see his focus was not on enemies. If anything, he expects us to forgive. Many of us these days, when we are praying as believers, our focus is on enemies, and I've said it again and again. Please, do not buy that idea. Enemies are not the reason why you are not prospering. Enemies are not the reason, all right, why you are not married. There's no enemy that can stop you from having children. There's no enemy that can hold your job. Please, Christianity and African traditional worship are two different things. Let's not mix them up. And a typical African mindset is, who is responsible for this? And they grew up with it. And unfortunately, these days, I see preachers also teaching us that thing. We hear, I'm sorry to say, lying testimonies. Now, please, the people may not have intended to deceive, but the testimonies are either not totally not true. I don't want to say they are totally not true, but they absolutely do not apply in your life. Are you getting my point? Yes, they don't apply. So, and the stories are hard to tell. You know, there's one I told you, I saw somebody say, you are going to, you know, I hear all kinds of stories. They say, there are some people I hear, when they want to start praying, all they tell is stories of bad things. And that's supposed to motivate you to pray. There was one girl, her mother was angry with her, and her mother said she would never move for her own mother. So she tied her destiny and put it in the roof. Today you are going to pray. Anywhere they have tied my destiny. You want to hear the truth? That's one of the most foolish prayers you can bring before the throne of God. It's very foolish. Anywhere they have tied my destiny. Because somebody's destiny was tied. Then the story will end. This is a part. It's very sad. It's very sad. That story will end. Then the person will start another story. One young man had been writing an exam. First time he wrote it, he did not pass. Second time he wrote it, he did not pass. Third time he wrote it, he did not pass. Fourth time he wrote it, he did not pass. And then he came for the prayer jagajugu that we had last year. And as we were praying and fasting, and we're on the mountain for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is, he wasn't delivered though. He now saw where they tied his success and put it on a high tree. And we began to climb it in the spirit. And we began to climb it. Well, all of now go fall down from that high tree. An angel. And usually, I like to see the congregation at such times. Please, forgive me for seeming to be mocking people, but you need to know this truth. Then we now cut it. As soon as we cut it, the thing fell, hit the ground. Next exam he took, he passed. Now you are going to pray. Wherever they have tied my success, wherever. Are you that guy? You don't even have an uncle. And you are saying wherever they tied your success. And this is the painful part about it. Next time your uncle say, how are you now? Where class are you in now? Like tell you which class I'm in. So I will never leave the class. I'm not telling anybody. So maybe you're already in a university. First year. Which class are you? Say, I'm in GS2. Your hope is that your uncle will go and tie promotion to GS3. Like I keep saying, you start behaving like an irrational human being. You become so weird. Are you getting my point? You start behaving like, sorry. I say you need psychiatric attention. And you know what? If you behave like that for long enough, you actually need. Right now, you are just testing the waters, checking the address to psychiatric hospitals, but you will soon need them. Then you hear another story. One woman, she saw 7 candles. Then the spirit she now went and started putting them out. That was when the pains in her body, which were in 7 different joints, that's when they went down. Then you will pray. Whoever has lit a candle, all the prayer points you give, none of them given by the Lord Jesus Christ, none of them seen in the Bible. Where did you see in the Bible that it tells somebody's destiny? Where did you see it? You know, please, let me repeat this testimony. It's something we know, but the man of God, when he came to preach in Uplifting City Church, their program, last week, he told this. I never knew that. I've known him for a very long time. I've known him for, nothing less than 12 years, okay? He has stayed in my house before, came with his family to spend a few days with us some years ago. I've preached in his church a number of times, okay? We've talked on the phone so many times. But I never knew this about him. That his father was an only son. Alright? I mean, his grandfather is late now. His father was an only child. An only child. And his grandfather, that's the father of this, his own father, was a Dibia. He's not from the East, so let's not use the word Dibia, but a serious juju man. That his grandfather was like this. When he enters the forest, trees talk to him. That's the kind of power. You know Balaam? How many of you have seen Balaam before? Saw him down the street. He said, look, somebody will break a leg. His father will treat chicken. The person will get well. He said his grandfather wasn't doing small, I want to marry this girl. She's not agreeing. Now do sorrow for you to go and rob her. He said it's not that kind of. He said the man didn't have time for love medicine. Love medicine is for junior apprentice. Now this is where I'm going. His own father, all right, is a minister of the gospel. He got born again. Listen to this. He never thought he needed deliverance. He didn't go for deliverance and nothing bad happened to him. This pastor I'm talking about, he's a pastor today. He said, he didn't know, you know, they will tell you that if, all this if, he said he didn't know that that was necessary. He has not had any problem more than anybody whose father was a priest. That's an Anglican priest. He has not had any serious problems. He went through life the way every young man went through life until he's now a settled man, family man, he's a missionary, he's a minister of the gospel. He's going around. He was sharing this testimony. I said, I like this, your story. I told him, this is very nice. Because sometimes people think that, it's because you are not there. Which, what is it? Nah, this man was there. I didn't know any of my grandfathers. I didn't meet any one of them. Of course, I must have had two grandfathers. Don't you think so? I didn't know anyone. So I don't know whether they were whatever. But I know, at least I know one of my grandfathers was, I know the church he used to go to. So he used to go to church, one of my grandfathers. The other one, that's my dad's father. I can't even remember anything about him. So I don't know whether he too. One thing I know for sure, both of my great-grandfathers, so all my great, there will have been four great-grandfathers there, all of them were not Christians. They worshipped African way. It has not made me need deliverance. I keep on saying, the only problem you have is ignorance. That's the problem you have. This pastor I was telling you about, he said all that happened to his father and happened to him is the same thing that happened to me. We entered into church and they were teaching us about what we are in Christ. I don't know what I heard I said. They were teaching us what we are in Christ. So the idea that ancestral spirits could be part of our lives didn't cross our minds. Do you know the truth? It's in the last few years that I'm hearing this nonsense about ancestral spirits. Family altar. Go and check the history of your family. Do you know what? I told him just now. It's now as I'm telling you, I realize that I don't even know much about any of that's my father's, my mom's dad. His picture hung in the family house. So I could see his picture. And I was told that I looked like him and I behaved like him. I have his build. That's all I know about the man. And I know my mom was a favorite daughter to him. I know that also. As my dad's father, I know nothing. You know why? My father didn't used to tell any story. He didn't used to tell any story. Nothing. Do you know what? Even if I want to know the history of my family, it's not possible. There's nobody to ask. But if anyone is in Christ, complete for me. He's a new creature. He's new. Old grandfathers and fathers passed away. There's a new lineage controlling his life now. Let me get back to this man of God I was telling you about. He said, that's all he knew. So he too was wondering, why would I need deliverance? These are ideas that never crossed his mind until recently. We turned it, sorry to say, into church growth factor. Do you know what? If Now, I turn this place to ancestral digging center. First, I know people like you won't come back. You will not. If you were looking for ancestral diggers, you wouldn't be here in the first place. But it's where we will find space to keep people, to keep them, is where the issue will be. I'm sorry to say this. Then I don't see, all I need to tell you, find me an offering. Then we'll find out what's wrong with your family history. Raising $1 million each time I come for service, no, that's not going to be work. I mean, as long as you have ancestors and you have problems, two things you need for me to get a lot of offering is ancestors and problems. And you know what? There's nobody that doesn't have problems. It's whether you want to ascribe it to ancestors or you don't want to. Jesus came with all the grace upon him, with all his dedication to God. He chose only 12 disciples. He got the devil. That's the problem. A thief was his treasurer. That's a problem. So they should go and find out the grandmother of Mary. Who was she stealing from? That brought stealing into the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to say, when I say these things, you'll be like Pastor Banky just being. A lot of people preach these things. They know they are lies. They know they are not true. And I'm telling you that these things are not true. Say, sir, why do they preach it? I just told you two reasons why they do. Who doesn't want a large congregation? Who doesn't want plenty of money? You may think they had, I'm telling you, see, these things, the way they work, I know what I'm telling you. The way they work is that your desires shift your inclinations. I don't know whether I get my point. Like now, if there are two doctrines in front of me, all right, except I've prayed before and committed my life with prayer and fasting and everything to truth, the doctrine I will go with most first is the one that benefits me, depending on where my heart is. If I'm the type that says that on this earth we must make it, is the doctrine that supports that. But if I've been trained about eternity, is the doctrine that supports eternal things that will appeal to me. It's not the ability to reason that decides what you believe or what you don't believe. It's where your heart is. Why am I saying this? Please, don't let anybody make merchandise of your soul. That's what I'm preaching. Don't let anybody make merchandise of your soul. I think the person I'm talking to is not here. That is physically. Maybe it's remotely joining us. Your problem, and please stop allowing people. You know, let me be honest with you, sir. I'm tired of saying these things. You know why I'm tired of saying them? I think that they're a waste of time. You see, anytime I come to preach, I believe the Spirit of God puts it on my mind to help people. Including people I have told many times. You know, they almost still sneak outside. I'm tired, really, of telling people, your problem is not witches. Your problem is not ancestral curses. Your problem is not the fact that your great-grandfather was a slave trader. I've heard that doctrine before, and people were so impressed. They said, doctrine. I said, this is a lie. They said, if your great-grandfather was a slave trader, you'd be having broken homes. Why? Because he used to kidnap people from their homes. How they tie that logic, I don't know. Why you be having broken homes is simple. You didn't learn the word of God and apply it properly. There's no curse that is more powerful than the word of God applied. There's none. Please, don't let anybody, because he has to make money, break your family. That's where I'm going to. There are those who are not talking to their fathers. They're not talking to their mothers. You marry a wife now. The first lecture you give her after you got married is, my mother, don't talk. You are drawing lines. And then recently, people are now releasing Christian videos preaching these lies. Please, you know why I keep talking? He said, there's a voice of one shouting in the wilderness. That's what I've made myself. And it's those who agree to listen. God will be able to help them. Please, it is not necessary to become secretive for you to be safe. Safety is not in secrecy. Some will say, it's wisdom. It's not wisdom, it's fear. It is fear. Stop calling it wisdom. You are afraid. There are those that cannot tell their extended family the date of their wedding. Don't worry. You have not seen problems yet. These are my two young men. They don't know what we're talking about.
What I've said is not true.
You heard. This auntie is not even old. She already knows it to be true.
There are those... there was one I heard recently. It was shocking. I can't remember who told me. It's one of our persons here. That is... Get my point. A woman is ill. She's staying with one of her children. All right? Her granddaughter was wedding. They quickly told... Of course, the children... The person she's staying with, like an auntie to the girl getting married. They sold Ashwebi. Are you getting my point? You know the question? Our uniform. And on the day of the wedding, they took that woman, not the woman herself, and Sharon left the house to go and attend the wedding. The old man was not told. What I said is actually worse than this, but I can't remember the story. What I was told, certainly worse than this. They didn't tell her. There's a short film, you know, this short film they do once in a while. Beautiful film, very beautiful film, just about 7 minutes. I can't remember the name of the film. I'd love to recommend it for you to go and watch it. I can't remember anything about it. This guy was engaged to this young woman. You've seen the movie, the short film? The nurse girl. And the girl went to go and see the guy. They met at the park. He wants to tell her something. They had an appointment. They went to the park. They had a nice time moving around. Finally, he blotted it out that he's flying out of Nigeria tonight by 8 p.m. Did you hear that? He was going to Europe. Oh, no. He's going to, I think, North America. Either North America or UK. And the girl said, and it's now you are telling me. He said, sorry, you know where my mother is. My mother, his mother had pulled his ear, pulled his nose, pulled his lips, and pulled his eyebrows. Eyelids, sorry, thank you. That if you tell anybody, whoa, that's how your destiny will scatter. The guy was begging her, don't worry, I'm so sorry. Don't worry, as you finish your school of nursing, all right, I'll make arrangements for you to travel abroad, and they'll get married, and then they will live happily ever after. See, you can never live happily ever after with anybody afraid of witches. It's not possible. See, if you are engaged now, let me tell you how to break the engagement. If the girl is afraid of witches, tell her you're not mine again. If you're a serious Christian girl, and that guy is, you know, he's structuring, looking over her, she's paranoid with witches, tell her and say, you know, they marry until they get deliverance from such nonsense doctrines. So he was promising her all of that. The girl cried for him small, tears rolled down her eyes, and then, of course, they parted. He went on to go and finish his packing. On his way, he stopped in her house to say bye-bye and found the door locked. The guy who did that movie should win a Nobel Peace Prize for correction of Christians. You know what happened? Along the time we were talking earlier, the girl kept on saying, I want to tell you something. Then she'll keep quiet. You know what? His own flight was by 8 p.m. Her own was by 7. For years, she had been learning Dutch or German because she was going to Germany. And her mother had pulled her ears. Let's go back to that. Pulled her nose. Pulled her lips. Pulled her eyelashes, her eyebrows, and her eyelids and everything. If you tell anybody. So she couldn't tell the boy. The boy's mother too had pulled every part of him. He couldn't tell her. So by the time he came to come and say final bye-bye, she had already gone. The guy who made the film, God bless him. The film ended there. The guy, my wife was saying that, hey God, let them meet at the airport. I said, I'll film. I had to remind her, I said, sweetheart, now film. Since there's no airport scene, they can't meet at the airport. Now, you see, it sounds funny, right? While for me, it drove home well, was that I've heard many true stories like that. You see bosom friends say, good night, we'll see tomorrow, hey, tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, knock their house, the whole family traveled at 5 a.m. And you were with this bagger, eh? Till 8 p.m. yesterday. Because they never can tell. You see, there was one of these foolish movies I saw. You see, why it's not, Christian movie. Say, why is not making progress? Because he can't keep his mouth shut. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redeemed, please don't keep quiet. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's not, you don't keep quiet. Say, I'm not redeemed. Shh, shh, shh. I think I'm redeemed. No. Hey, you will shout it loud. I am redeemed. They say, these are the witches passing. That is when you start dancing. Redeemed people, let's dance. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Do the witch like, toy. Jesus has delivered me, and there's nothing witches can do. You look in that direction and be clapping for them. Tomorrow I go to London. I come to America. Be clapping for them. If you like, they follow me up and down. Frustration go wound you. Anybody? Do you know what somebody wrote? Or, you know, you have DP, status, and all of that. Display picture. Now have something you write under. You know what somebody wrote on her own? Monitor me and die. Was that person? Yes. Monitor me and die. Well, okay, if you monitor me, you can die too. I just realized it now. Frustration. Because he prepares the table before me in the presence of my monitors. Thank you. All those monitoring me. Ah, go. He says, bank, they are monitoring you. Say, Lord, how much be the money? So, 5 million. See, they are monitoring now. Say, okay, let me add 5. Yes, make it 10. Say, another monitor has come. Make it 15. So that they have enough to monitor. That's my attitude in life. Oh. It's an overcomer's attitude. It's a victor's attitude. It's a victorious attitude. I have victory in Christ Jesus. See, just at the time I do things like that, it's kind of past. If my wife gets belated today, I will tell you tomorrow. You know, Africans are very funny, self. Shame, 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 self. No, they can't. Hollywood, you know Hollywood. People don't even go to church. The woman will be 8 weeks pregnant. She will call press conference. I just want you to know. It's not her husband, though. My partner, I, we are having a baby. I still remember when one Kardashian girl like this got pregnant, we did not even know. That her boyfriend, what's the name of that guy? He jumped on stage and said, I want to know that's my baby mama. Shouted for the whole other, his one major concert. Showed them that this woman is pregnant for him. And they went on to have like, is it 4 children together? She carried 2. They used a surrogate for 2. And they put it on social media. Me, I'm not even there. Once you watch news, they will announce it to the whole world. Christian, with God on your side, your own, you're going to put them inside. Under a bushel, you know, like he said, God lights a candle, you put it under a bushel. And you know what? The same say it's wisdom. How can it be wisdom? Kim Kardashian is not hiding at all. He said, there's witchcraft there. Did they chop people in that place? People who don't go to church, they get pregnant, they announce to the whole world. You go to church, your only defense against witches is secrecy. In case you don't know, they know. Yeah, the one that's, something they don't discuss. They don't discuss how. If they never chop that picking up because they're not fit. If they're just looking at this, you are the one that I think is hidden. As you are passing, they can see the picking's heart. You are passing, and you wear everything, you know. You wear cloth to make it turn you into a tube so that they can't see any bulge in your body. And the witches are just looking at you, say, look at this crazy fellow. If I didn't want to go to God, please, more will chop this picking. Just to prove that hiding this doesn't work. Unbelievers will put their own on social media. They will even go to take picture. Baby bump, Abby. That's what they call it. Now see them posing like the Christians will be hiding their own. You know why? Their God is retired. Oh no, he's not retired. He's sick. So his normal protection powers is kind of weak. God has to take care of himself. Physician, heal thyself. So since God cannot help them now, they have to hide it until God recovers. Then when he recovers, they will be protected. Do you see how you are insulting him? See this insult. Now you talk, cannot be me. What a Hollywood loose celebrity is not hiding. The girl is sleeping around with every producer, every co-actor, everyone. Then finally, she gets belated for one. And she announces to you, 8 weeks. She just dipped sick, sees 2 strikes, she called press conference, just wanted to know, me and my partner were expecting a baby. As soon as they discover the baby is a boy, they come and name him internationally for you. And you can still come to church and testify.
I didn't tell anybody, so I was safe. God said, no problem. They are waiting for you next time. The one that did you hid, God is the one that just covered you with his protection. Those people, they knew, they couldn't do anything. Let me ask you, it's simple. It's a very simple thing. Was Satan aware of how prosperous Job was? No, answer me.
Yes.
Did he know when his wife delivered the first?
Yes.
The second?
Yes.
Third?
Yes.
When they made the first million?
Yes.
When he employed the first 10 people?
Yes.
When he bought a private jet? Let's assume Job had, okay? Was Satan aware?
Yes.
But what did Satan say to God? I was watching everything from behind the fence. He said, you surrounded with a hedge round about. So by the time you are doing these things, you don't believe in God's hedge. You hear what I said? When you are being deliberate about hiding your plans, you don't believe in God's hedge. Many years ago, before Victory was born, I think somebody asked my wife, like, has your husband come back? Because it's been a long time, because it's quite long ago. Or when is your husband traveling? Something like that. So she was surprised the person knew I was traveling. And I said, how come the person knows you are traveling? I said, no, the person is not my friend, so. So she was a bit surprised. She wasn't afraid, just surprised, that kind of thing. And I said, the person I know I told, and I mentioned somebody's name. He said, you told the whole world now. You get my point? The fellow is one of those people that, I've been telling him something like this. He said, hey, bank is supposed to bring something for me, but the boy, they go to America. That's not good. My wife said, you told the whole world. And you know what? It didn't bother us. The guy is late now. Very interesting man. Of course, you know my children, they came, papa, one after the other. That's how they came. They didn't come early. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. But once they started coming, now, I don't know how they were discussing in heaven who's going first. So he saw me one day. He said, Banky, I see your wife. This is your wife now, 1 year, one block. You know the building called 1 year, one block in interview? I had a good, that's how you say it. In front of everybody. In front, like we say, Igwe Madu. He would tell everybody that Banky's wife is pregnant. What do you want? Okay, what do you not want to do? Kill him. If you mistakenly tell him that, I didn't see you yesterday, you were not in church. Yeah, I followed my wife for Auntie Nata. The whole church is not here by the following Sunday. Some people are afraid of such persons. It didn't need to scare me. I used to tell him, once we are gisting, Maggie, how now? Okay, I think it's next week I'm traveling. Next week, I know he would tell the whole world. And he was a nice guy. That's how he told his own life story is in front of everybody. You know, this kind of people that they I wish they couldn't do him anything. What's all of that? Nothing. People say that you need to keep secret. For what? Like I keep saying, you say you're a witch. Come and collect my blessing. If you survive it, you're born again. That is, as you began to approach, you saw like Paul on the road to Damascus. You saw Jesus Christ. You gave your life to Christ. You repented of your sins. You were baptized without water. That's the only way you survive. Chase after my blessing. Because of what now? I was telling earlier about a pastor, right? He said he did not know he was supposed to need deliverance. His father born by thick tibia. Didn't think he needed deliverance. The deliverance he needed was to come out of Egypt and enter into Christ. That's all. I was so blessed by that story. It wasn't something we always knew, but it was one person I knew. In fact, let me tell you somebody we all know. We all know him very well. Billy Akoni. Came from an Ifa house. One reason why he did not become an Ifa priest was stubbornness. You know, this kind of people that just causing trouble at home. So nobody will agree to train you to be anything. He went to church, gave his life to Christ. And it's Billy Akoni you know today. Trust me, he didn't need deliverance. This deliverance thing here is a recent doctrine. It's very recent. It's very recent. Telling your problems is the problem of where you came from. It's very recent. It's very recent. And you know the one thing I've noticed, Reverend? Nobody who has succumbed to those things have ever been delivered permanently.
Yes, sir.
They can't be. They keep going to a higher dose of deliverance, you know? They go from one power that's been used to things that have not yet been used. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. They go, you know, you get my point? Uh-huh. So they keep on looking for more dangerous powers because the problem doesn't go away with the first deliverance. So they think that this man, his power is not enough. The another one is coming to town. They go for another deliverance. I know the truth. They fall under the power. Falling under the power is not the in fact. The man will lay hand, come on! They will fall down. According to one man, faller. The guy said that before I touch you, you don't fall. Pastor passes beside you, you don't fall. He said, wait, faller. He said, stop falling, bring an offering. He said, who you're falling, help. Yeah, you see funny manifestations. Do you know what? They are never delivered. Please, if any pastor says you should come for deliverance, eh? From ancestral, that is because of the village you were born in, because of your grandfather being a juju priest, just make sure he does deliverance without pay. It's the first test. I've told you, the first test is what? Make sure deliverance is free. Once you have to bring anything, some of you will be hiring, I don't even know where the problem is worse now, whether it's in Western Nigeria. I've lived in Eastern Nigeria all my functional adult life. So I know the problems here. But I know say people for that place, maybe not then start and save, I don't even know. Those of you hire prayer warriors to come and dig things in your compound. You are the ones I'm talking to. I know the thing, they don't charge money. I hope you are aware. No. Deliverance is free. It's breaking of fast you pay for. The prayer warriors must eat. So they are going to stay in your place for 10 days. There are 7 of them. Because of you, they will not eat. But at night, they have to break the fast. So all you give them money for is to break the fast. So maybe just 10,000 naira for a decent meal, times 7 people, times 7 days. How much is that? Just round it up, 500K. You say no. In fact, your own church man should talk to you. When they are going, you're supposed to find them something. So just round it up 1 million naira. 1 million is nothing compared to the size of the problem in the household. Some of you are here laughing. You're breathing all over the place. They are paying. They are paying. When the pastor came with a vex. Should I tell you why he vexed? One man came to see him. He heard him on radio. So he managed to book an appointment. You know, they are good pastors. So, like Pastor Kimonti, a good pastor. That means good pastor. Uh-huh. They are bad pastors. Pastor Bangi, because you call me, ain't give me you an appointment. Don't carry your problems and come and give me to carry. But that means can carry. Okay, Kimonti can carry. I don't know. Everybody has grace. There's grace I don't have. I don't counsel strangers. No, I don't counsel strangers. Not because it is bad, though. Just because I don't have the grace. Maybe I'm too lazy. I don't know you, ain't talking to you. If you come for a program where I'm teaching, I will greet you. You say, Pastor, I wanted to see you. Lie. You know, you've tried. I don't see anybody. Thank God for Elder John. People like Dami, Pastor Kemute, they don't mind. This man went to see Okemute. I'll tell you why Okemute was angry. He told Okemute the whole problems that he has had. Okemute heard by the Spirit of God what his problem was. All the money he has given people for deliverance and all of that. That time, not today. What I'm telling you is, should be nothing less than 7 years now. Okay, 6-7 years. The guy said he gave one person 500,000 naira to do deliverance. So this man of God said, that is not what you need. By the word of knowledge, he discerned what his problem was. He told him. Do you know, he come buy CD from Okemute and he collect change. Yes. Okemute, look at me. Counseling, I solve your problem free. Church CD, you still collect. Meanwhile, the prophet did not help you. 500, that CD was 500 naira. The money he had was 1,000. So the people had to look for change for him. But the other pastor collected 500,000 naira and lied to him. It's another reason why people like me don't even like counseling, because I don't like people that are not serious.
Say them come. One thing I like Pastor Kemudi for, when people come, when you finish counseling like that, his prescription, I know it. I know his prescription. He doesn't have time for, he will give you prescription. Say, look, I will be seeing you in Bible study twice a week for the next 3 months. Then we'll talk again. If you miss it, he said you are not serious. Yeah. And you know what? Everybody, every single person that has listened to that instruction, at the end of the day, the teacher said, I don't need you again, sir. God will bless you. Yeah. So, guys, it's not necessary. That my problems have been solved. I've gotten all my answers as I was hearing you guys teach. You preached the other day, I heard this. Pastor Dan preached the other day, I heard this. Pastor Banky said this one, I heard it. In 2 months, the person said, I don't need counseling again. I've been fully counseled. The person will sit down and be hearing the word of God and be delivered. People think that they can buy deliverance with money. You can't. Deliverance is not available for sale. The only thing that you achieve by those things is that the prophet gets rich. He gets money. You hear what I said? Yes, that's all that is achieved. The payment for your deliverance is for you to settle down. And truly, first of all, truly give your life to Christ. That's the payment for your deliverance. That truly you will give your life to Christ, then settle down as a disciple and keep learning. But people think it's, you know, you want deliverance, pay money, and then go back to your old ways. Actually, the old ways produce money. Yes. But if you listen to truth, you have to understand something we've been saying here again and again. That truth always makes a demand. Sometimes the truth, the demand of truth, you know it will touch where you are getting money from. After all, you know it, you are this rich because it's through your hands that politicians pass money. You know. If you dare settle down in church and hear the truth, you can't continue. I told the story many times here. Of my friend who, a man joined his church. He said, for the first time we could plan. So that guy was a mighty giver. You know, there are people that just like God sent him into our lives. God just said, this guy, go and help these people. He said, if we got an offering in church of 1,000 naira, that guy gave 500. A whole church. If offering for the month is 100,000 naira, that guy alone gave 50,000. He said, we began to plan on his money. So if they want to pay salaries, they know that guy's money is coming. If they need to buy diesel, they know that guy's money is coming. So the rest of you. He said, but the more the man gave, the more unsettled he was. He told me, he said, look, you see, this guy will give it. I'll just be unsettled. So he went to go and pray. After this, what prayer is about. It's not the pursuit of enemies that don't know you, that don't have power over you. He said he went and prayed. And finally, after praying, he gathered the anointing, let me use the word, to confront the man. After church, I told the man, please stop and see me. So the man, after everybody had left, he thanked him for his gifts over the months. Since he joined the church, how much have you been blessed? He said, well, oh boy, the more you give, the more uncomfortable I become. Talk to me. We are men. What's going on? That guy said, see, I have given in many churches. I've been looking for a pastor that will confront me. Say, God bless you, sir. It is stolen money. Let's summarize it. That will steal it. Then it described to him how the scam runs. They do this and that. Guys will send money. He will take his portion and send them back the balance. So he had a lot of money. Let's make a long story short. What do you think my friend said to him? You have to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You have to stop. Ah, he said, no, God. Stopping is not that easy. Let me make a long story short. He had to resign from that job. Because the man told him, no, there's no other way. You can't continue. First, of course, that's the last offering you are giving. You know that one. You see, you don't need to be told. The offering you gave that Sunday is the last you are giving in that church. Your offering is no longer welcome. See, let me tell you, to obey God has a cost. Think about it. That pastor, he just lost half of his ministry's income by telling somebody the truth. You want to hear? Most pastors can't do it. They will find scripture. The wealth of the wicked is yours for the taking. A man said, I was there. Not somebody told me. Some people say it is blood money. Bring it. We will cleanse it with the bigger blood. No, I'm not telling somebody said something somewhere and they told me. I was sitting right in front and this guy was lying in the name of the Lord. Right there. They said it is blood money. Bring it. We'll cleanse it with a bigger blood. Yes. I've told you before, many people know this truth. But truth is expensive. See, my friend, I was telling you about now. Church income just dropped by half by him telling somebody, you can't continue in this way of iniquity. The man didn't even come to tell. He was the one that said, my spirit says something is wrong. That every time you drop an offering, I'm unsettled. He didn't deny it. He said, this is the issue. Many people will have prayed for him. They will have prayed for him. Say, Father, as your son is dedicated to your work, protect. The man just told you he's stealing. In fact, they won't even ask him where he got the money from. Forget that. They won't even ask him. Do you know? Dami, I need to tell you guys this thing so that if you're a young preacher, you know there are things you don't do. Somebody was going to an office once. A very rich person's office. A woman. Another woman she was going to see to invite her for a program. And as she entered the lift, she suddenly heard a voice. Beware of the leprosy of Naaman. What is that? I don't know whether it's repeated. Just said, clearly, beware of the leprosy of Naaman. Enter the woman's office and they talk and the woman says, okay, what you are doing is great. I'm not sure I'll be around, but open the drawer and brought money. Heavy money, put it on the table. Say, please take as you go. Now, what's the interpretation? Look, let's just face it. What is the interpretation? Let's summarize it. Beware of the leprosy of Naaman. What is the summary of it? Don't take the money. This person went to church and told the pastor this story. You know what the pastor said? And you left it behind. You should have brought it now. Let me collect the leprosy. Please, if not a joke, we will stop that kind of nonsense. That's a bad joke. You don't joke about such things. A prophet told you, I was about to enter a place and the word of the Lord came to me saying, beware of the leprosy of Naaman. I entered there. I saw the goods of Naaman. Naaman said, take. The last person that took was Gehazi. And the leprosy of Naaman stuck to him and his descendants forever. According to the word of the man of God, Elisha. And I came, I told you, I rejected the goods of Naaman. And you are saying to me, as a pastor of a church, that I should have collected it. He said, let the leprosy be my own before come give me the money. You want to know the truth? What are you? See, let me just say something about Christianity. That man collected the leprosy. He didn't know. That statement dashed him the leprosy. That statement did. Truth is expensive. The other person walked away. Lots of money. Plenty of money. And said, God said, this is the leprosy of Naaman that I'm about to collect. But somebody who loves money will look at it and say, in Christ Jesus, the blood of Jesus has washed away the leprosy of Naaman. The blood of Jesus has suffered in the hands of sinners, Christians that refuse to repent. I told you last time that somebody took a friend's money. And that friend said, the consequence will not be good. He said, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Like my wife said, are you in Christ Jesus? You should know the scriptures are not talking to you. They're not talking to you. You're a thief. They're not talking to you. I went all of that time to explain to you, please, let nobody break your home. Please, I'm talking to somebody. Don't let them break your house. You just married not too long ago. They're already identifying witches in the family for you. You are coming home now. God. This, you know, those prophets, I'm not sure they can die in peace. Worry man say, you know, go die better. I'm not sure. Because the kind of things they've done. If I didn't preach over the years, those are the only group of people that I dash curses to. Because I don't know how wicked a human being can be. A young man married. He has not settled for more than a few years. You're already breaking his house for him. Now he goes home every day full. Why? He stops by at Intachi to eat. He stops by at Mama Put to eat. Because he has become suspicious of his own wife. I think that prophet will die well. I didn't say, I'm just suspecting, no. You get my point? I'm not sure I said God go grill. You deliberately invoke division. God said, one of the things that God hates is the one that separates brethren. You know that? So God, prophet, God hates you. You must understand. God hates you. You are hated by God. You don't want to know this, what the Spirit of God is saying? The curse of Edom is upon you. You are one that people will know. This is a person against whom the Lord has indignation every day. I'm talking to the young husband. You don't go home to eat anymore. In the morning, you hurry to leave the house. So your wife can't even give you ordinary conflicts. Because one guy wearing suit. You know, human beings are funny. Do you know? TV is still running. The ministry is still running. I say, human beings, what? They don't take their head back barrel. You know what they used to use head? You know what that means? They don't exchange their head destiny. Their head. There's something in Western Nigeria. It would say that they have used your head to do exchange. What it means is that. No, those days people used to go around buying things. So they were looking for old jewelry. People will not know it's gold. So they bring it. They bring big, coolers and all of that. They see one small ring. Maybe you go and take it from your mother. You don't know. So this one, old ring, it's been in the house. They will test it, discover it's pure gold. They will give you a whole cooler in exchange. You will be looking at the cooler. You are very happy. That small ring you gave them is 350,000 naira. Yeah. Gold is expensive. But you don't know now because it's bent, it's dirty. So they go around, you see them, they carry a lot of goods. So they call it paro. You understand my point? This guy makes exchange. So when they want to yap, they use your head to exchange. That is somebody came, gave them cooler, and collected your brain. It's where the yap people there. Their one is, this new GP tank you have, is it your brain they use to exchange? That is after everything. People are still going to that church. With all the documentation of fake miracles, sexual abuse of people that he has captured, and suspicious manner of death, I have my own suspicion of how he went. People are still going. I say, indeed, they have used the head for exchange. People say they have been used for exchange. Please, I'm talking to some people. Go home. Eat your wife's food. You will not die. She is not a witch. You know why you have been dreaming that she's a witch? Because the man that told you, some of them actually have some occultic powers. This guy told you now, I just mentioned now, this, I don't want to popularize it. Do you know he used to appear to people in their dreams? Yes, sir. Yeah, he used to. But he was still a false prophet. He was still a false prophet. People thought that meant that he had power. Eh? What is it? It's not new. I mean, go read your Bible. There was a girl that had familiar spirit. Simon the sorcerer. He had it. He had spirits with which he operated. He did magical deeds. Listen, demons can appear and look like Samuel. Yeah? The one that came and spoke to Saul. People have said that Samuel came from... That was not Samuel. We know it wasn't Samuel because somewhere else... Micaiah told us, a lying spirit went to the mouth of the prophets. A demon just took off the garment of Samuel and appeared to Saul. And they are still appearing today. And people are believing all that nonsense. Homes have been broken because people are suspicious of each other. Because one prophet told them, remember, Who told you? That's what Jesus kept on saying in the garden. Who told you you were naked? Who told you this wife you married just 5.5 years ago is a witch? See, if I married the first daughter initiated at birth, that is, first daughter of a witch, who initiated the girl at birth into witchcraft? The day the girl married me, I don't de-witch him. Are you getting my point? But most importantly, because she would have been de-witched before I came, because I would have married only a believer. Do you get my point? And once they dip you, I keep on telling some of you are not sure. Just ask for, go and meet Pastor Okemute. Do you do water baptism? Oh, you don't do water. Okay, Pastor Okemute does regularly. Go and queue. Just go and queue. Say, Pastor, when else are you doing water baptism? And tell him, please, when you want to baptize, keep me down for like 15 seconds. So you go wash well. Do you get my point? And if I were, before I go, I go rub soap for body, you know? Shower gel, rub it all over your body. So when you enter that water, when you see the bubble, you know your sins have been washed away. No, if you want to be sure that you have been delivered of a child of witchcraft, just go for that baptism. I'm telling you, it can't come out of that water. Let it stay behind there. But the student was telling that if not me, I married a witch's first daughter, my wife's mother's witchcraft will only stop at the junction. Which junction, Seth? Don't even know. Any day she leaves her house and she's coming to our house, it will not pass their compound. The demons will say, yeah, Jay, where are you now? They go. They say, well, I'm going to my daughter and my son-in-law's house. You know what the spirits will say? We will wait here. Then they will say, we will wait here. Go, come. When you are going to a sinner's house, we will escort you. Your other daughter, that one doesn't know God. I will follow you going house. But this one will marry Banky. I beg. You know, Jesus used to say, do you want to destroy us before the time? Banky destroys people before the time. So please, just go on your own. After a while, the woman won't come to my house again. Assuming I married the first daughter of a real witch. How much more when it is just somebody who a prophet called a witch? I hope you know most people are not witches. Witches are not common. What you have very commonly are confused Nigerians, not witches. I hope you know, half of those who even tell you that they are doing juju for you, they don't have juju. What they are giving is chalk and powdered coal. That's all. That's what they give. That's what they give. It's business. It's called work. You know what they call work? Okay, job. No, that's what they call it. They call it work. It's a scam. It's a major scam that they are doing. Why are you falling for it? Anyway, no matter how much I talk, except you deliberately keep yourself inside Christ, there's no deliverance. Back to the story I told about the man of God. He said he never knew, he didn't know he needed it. But one thing, and that one I participated in also as a young person also. On campus, Kenneth Hagin, and books around Word of Faith. Even the demons that wanted to oppress us before, they realized that we were the ones using them to make bedspread. Do you understand? You know, maybe it's a witch coming to press you at night. We're the one pressing witches. Before we go to sleep, by the time we confess a few scriptures, speak some dangerous tongues. Are you getting my point? And it's, see, I'm sorry to say, these tongues they are speaking these days, these are not tongues though. These are tongues that are used to fight witches. Our own was tongues of rejoicing. Are you getting my point? Tongues of gladness. Oh, Father, we thank you. Bakato semo korege shandolabaya. Oh! Thank you in Christ Jesus. We are greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The demons lie down there. We lie down on them. Your pillow is not good. Not tell, hey, pass the ball. Move. You bang. They can't demo. If they shift, they go to hellfire. If they shift, you put your foot down. Want to rest your foot. Satan, put your head there. Give me a pillow. That was our attitude. And I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, we used to literally drive out demons. It's the time that I tell you that a friend of mine came. Demons had occupied their home. That the day he came to campus and told us about it. See, we're three. Him that told the story, my friend, and me. Three of us friends. That day I still remember, I was feverish. They stood up to pray. I started to pray. I couldn't get up. In my maleric state, all the way from Abia State, were in Edo State, we cleared demons out of the whole compound. And we're small, small boys. Two of us were not up to 20. One was probably like 21. Sister came to me and told me that, hey, see what's happening in our family and all of that. Ah. I said, well, where did we keep this power? Well, these are powers we are using. These are not powers we don't use. We're using it regularly. We're exercising the powers. I'm telling you the truth. I said, what is it? See me after fellowship. After fellowship. Give me your hands. You know who taught us? Kennedy Hagin. Authority of the believer. We use it to cause trouble. Some of our seniors, eh? That one, the one I'm telling you. By the time we finished praying, 15 minutes, you know, they passed 15 minutes. Next time this girl went home, her brother's head had cleared. The boy woke up one day. Ah, what's going on here? Why am I behaving like I'm crazy? He took his, you know, all his worldly tapes, all of, he converted to Christian tapes, packed all the cigarettes he started smoking, threw them. When the day I saw him, he was on his way to a camp meeting. It was 15 minutes prayer. Because the elder sister said, no, this will not stand. What are we talking about? I told you, our seniors, I wasn't part of this one, all right? But to tell you the kind of thing our seniors did, I know one of the guys who championed it. One small girl on campus. She used to be a girlfriend to a cult member. She gave her life to Christ. The cult boy thought he had power. You guys don't know the power the Christians have. So she came to them. I can give you, the guy I'm talking about now is a big pastor in Port Harcourt. Who led the prayer? And they said, what is all of this? She told them what happened. They said, guys, join hands. They cast him in the name of the Lord. He tried to cross UBTH in front to go and buy medicine. A car came, killed him. The girl was free. So what is all of this? Later on, someone said, maybe they should not have killed him. But they killed him. I'm telling you the truth. If I know two people present there, the guy who told us the story, I was not in that meeting. The guy who told us the story, I still remember his name, was used to be our, we used to go to church together in Lagos. And the guy who led the meeting is a pastor in Port Harcourt. They said, wait, the guy said, you don't like you again. What is it? She wants to serve Jesus Christ. You want to be a competitor to Jesus Christ. Okay. If that's where you like it. Guys, give me your hands. They got her deliverance at the cost of his life. What are you talking about? One guy was on campus. He was one of these Jim Brown camp that used to just preach all over the place. A cult guy was smoking. So he wanted to preach to the guy. He took his cigarette from his mouth and dropped it. So he started preaching. That one got up and gave him a hot slap. So that bro, he got up from there. He spoke in tongues and went away. He sat down. The zeal of God came upon him. He came back and told the guy, that's your last slap on this campus. That a few weeks later, they dismissed him from that school. What are you talking about? I see Christians who are hiding from witches. We used to hunt. You know, if to say if he chop witch, we're roasting these people. We read the book, Authority of the Believer. Eh? You know, those that we thought was relent methods. No, a spirit possessed us. Yes, spirit possessed people. There's one scripture we had. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, we went everywhere with it. See, since I was a little boy, a teenager on campus, I've never been afraid of witchcraft power. I'm telling you the truth. Never. That's what that means. I have never gone for deliverance. Deliver me? What's my Bible doing? I'm delivered every day. Once I read one scripture, I wonder if the evil spirit don't give himself distance. Give himself space. Come on. Come on from where? Can you live there? Any demon that's in your life is only there because of your ignorance. And no matter how much you shall come out, even if it goes out, it will bounce back inside. Until you fill that place with the knowledge of God. Please, brethren, you know, it's painful. People say they go to church and they think that they exchange your destiny. You're wondering who? Who can? Do you know, it's even this cloth I'm wearing, eh? This cloth I'm wearing, it's difficult to exchange it with that measure. Exchange. If I put my arm inside his own, it go tear. This one will be kaftan for my body, not agbada for my body. I hope you are aware. Once he wears, he says, Pastor Dami, I love your agbada. He said, what do you mean it's not agbada? He said, but why are you? Is it looking like a brother? Ramana said, your destiny does not fit anybody else. That's the point I'm making. It's ordinary cloth. We can't even exchange it. You now exchange destiny? No, think about it. Who could have shouted, what they call it, John the Baptist, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and you are not John? No, let me think about it. Who could have shouted, I am the voice of one crying? Once you shout that shout, you go, the day Herod said, they told Herod, not him, they told Herod, oh, this is a God, not a man. God kill him. Once you exchange destiny with God. It's not even the one that said it. How can you exchange destiny with Elijah? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Oh boy, your destiny is your own. If you like, waste it. But stop telling me that somebody took your destiny to do what with something he does not know how to use. See my phone? It's a very nice phone. I don't care how criminal you think you are. If I drop it, you can't unlock it. You can't exchange it with your own. If I give it to you, it's useless to you. Are you getting where I'm going now? Listen, nobody exchange your destiny. You know what your problem? Your major problem. See, this one problem. This is a major problem. The thought that somebody is responsible for your problems is your major problem. Do you get my point? I'm talking to somebody. The very thought that, you know, maybe you came from a family and your father went and married a second wife. Your mother told you, of course, your mother went to a church, especially the way those white garment places. And they told every, you know, in every polygamous home, there's only one honest woman there. That's your mother. All the other ones are the practicing witches. And you believe it. You go to school, you fail. It's the witch. You drove your father's car, you had an accident. Just before you had the accident, you saw her in front. Like this. She blocked the road, you blanked out. You didn't tell us, say, Omugo. You had gone to drink. You didn't tell us that one, no. That you drank that night. And this is how you were doing on campus. You were not going to class. It is the reason why you are failing and failing and failing. But your mother told you, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's my co-wife, my enemy, my practicing witch. They don't want your children to succeed. And I'm telling you today, the main problem is that you believe it. See, you get my point. It is not that, you know, we talk about ignorance and all that. Those things are true. They're a major problem for Christians. But right now, the one I'm pinning on right now for some people is that they believe this lie that they are not personally responsible. You know Jabez? He carried ancestral problems to God. The familiar curse, he carried to God. And you know what he said? Oh, that you bless me indeed. That's all. It's a simple prayer. It's a very simple prayer. Oh, God, just bless me now. Sometimes I tell the Lord, I said, God, you know, say you get money. Yes. Sometimes you tell God like that, you know you have. You know I'm your son. You know you're not using the money for anything. You know if you give me now, I go use that for something. That's all. That's what Jabez did. Jabez just went to God. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. And you will enlarge my coast. Increase my horizon. Keep me from pain so that you don't come to me. But there's something the Bible says, Jabez was more honorable. Is that honorableness? Is it honorability? If, I don't know English we use. That people don't want to stick with. They want to live carelessly and be joining one early morning prayer and collecting miracles. That's the problem. That is the problem. They want to live carelessly and then believe that somebody else is responsible for their problems. That is the problem. The day you say, God, it is me and you. There's a student I had once. One day the guy came to me, says, it looks like you don't like me. I said, if you were me, would you like you? I mean, how can you like a student that's not serious? I told him. I said, I don't like you. I said, it's clear. I don't like you. Let's not do it like, why shouldn't I like you? Why should I like you? The only relationship between you and me is student-lecturer. You are not serious. You don't take your work seriously. I itemize everything for him. Why should I like you? When he realigned his ways, we became friends. There are two stories. Let me not mix them up. The second guy, the same attitude. I didn't like him too. And I didn't hide it from him. Look at your head. That guy, you know, an average student, when they are going to class, for example, they beg whether they can take a Coke. Eh? He takes two. If everybody is chopping one gala, the guy will chop three. And it was showing in his body, but not in his brain. So I didn't like him. So when they came to me, I told him, you know, he's a serious human being. You know what the guy told himself? This man, he will like me by force. He told himself that. When they told me, because one day I did a test for them. When I saw his score, I had to be checking who came to steal my paper wherever I kept it. This boy, bam, blasted his hand. Next exam, blasted. Ah. Oh. He was reading my course. So after when I called and said, well, come, what's going on? He said, sir, he just realized that all his classmates are passing and passing. They don't have two heads. He told me that. So he told him, said, what is this self in this matter? Are these people not my classmates? So he made up his mind that, sir, I won't fail in this school again. I said, good. Now, you know, now we are friends. We became friends that after I graduated, eh? When it comes to Enugu, he will come to my office to come and gist, you know, like we're now palace. Good afternoon, sir. He will sit down. We will sit down. What's been happening? He will tell me. So the day he was going to get married, he sent me a card. I teach fourth year. They have a number of exams, all right? So he has another exam in the fifth year. I think he has like three more exams before he will graduate after my class. What he used to do regularly. Once I see his number calling me, I know the result is out. Good afternoon, sir. Our result was published 1 hour ago, sir. So, yes, I just wanted to know I passed. I tell him congrats. That's it. Next time, months later, that phone will ring again. Once I see the call, I know the result is out. Good morning, sir. They released our result late last night. I just didn't want to disturb you. How did it go? I just want to let you know I passed. This is how this guy did consistently till he left school. All the witches left him alone when he became serious. All the witches left him alone when he took his destiny in his own hands. And they said, God, it is me and you. Well, a lot of people believe that now. They are looking for who to blame. Instead of a woman to go and learn how to talk at home, she'd rather blame her mother-in-law. Let me tell you the truth. If I was a mother-in-law, me too, I won't like you. We have to get used to these things. Me too, I won't. You know why? You have bad behavior. I come to my son's home. I already know I'm not welcome. He's showing your body. You greet me. Welcome, man. Now you walk out. I'm a woman like you. Don't forget to. You're a daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. As you greet me like that, I won't even answer you. You know I'm not answering you. Because me and you are the same in character. We are both bad people. I'm the bad mother of this son. You are the bad wife of my son. So no problem. We'll show each other. By the time we are done, that guy will be hypertensive. That my own son, no? Because of course, and you know, me, I'm the mother. I don't stay in the house. All right? I will carry my problem, go. Anytime I will show that you are a witch, I'm a witch. All of this because you don't have a good character. That's all. And because I'm not better than you, anything you do, it reflects. You get my point? We keep on bouncing with each other. So each time we interact, I like you less, you like me less. So at the end of the day, I decide you're a very bad person, you decide I'm a witch. Because witches are usually older, bad girls are younger. You understand? A lot of people who have witches as mothers-in-law, that's all. The day you go and rub sorrow on your knees so that it can bend, your mother-in-law would leave her coven. When she comes, mama, you have come. You kneel down properly. Greet her from your heart. You get my point? No, she will first wait. Call her son. Come. What's happening? That one will say that you went to church. One pastor came and preached. Then she will follow you to that church. And finally get her the deliverance from witchcraft. This story I'm telling you, I went to speak somewhere last week. There were two speakers. The other speaker was a lady. And she told exactly this thing I'm telling you. How she and her in-laws, war. She and her husband, trouble. Until she saw one woman there, she and her husband were really calm, only going easy. Ah, let me call and say, my sister, how far now? That one said, the way you did do, the way you did do, you can't have peace. Now, it didn't, I'm the one saying that one now. You understand? That one began to give her lectures, instructions, and she decided to take the instructions. I hope you're getting my point. What I'm saying is that the main problem with people is that they are comfortable, and it's a very African thing. And it's very Nigerian. No, African, because whatever is Nigerian, even if it's not only here with the, before, we've exported it to Kenya. Do you know we have more useless missionaries than real missionaries from Nigeria? Yeah. There's a country, eh? I won't mention their name because we are streaming. If I go and apply for a visa now, and I say I'm a pastor, they're not giving me, and it's Africa. Nigerian pastor, they won't let you come. Many years ago, I sent a website. One man was abusing his countrymen for copying Nigerian pastors. Oh, we are known for bad behavior. Ah, no, we've exported it. We've exported it. And the most famous pastor they know from Nigeria is a false prophet. One day, my wife and I was watching TV. One man was copying our false prophet. Said, be humble. You need to be humble. You see, be humble. The moment I saw it, I was watching it. The guy was praying for somewhere in Southern Africa. I'm not sure which country now. And then Southeast, you know, one of those countries. Either Southern or Eastern Africa. So I wanted to dial the television. You knock, you say, Oga, the person you are copying talks like that because he can't speak English. He's not talking like that because, you know, he can't speak English. He speaks normal. What he speaks normally is Yoruba. That's the only language he knows. The English you are seeing him speak, he has to force himself to say it on television. You are copying him thinking that it's his own... No! It's like me speaking Igbo now, I'm going slowly. The you that can speak Igbo fluently, you now go there and say, Kedu Kodi. Not knowing that, I don't want to blow it on air. This is how we have exported bad things all over the place. What am I saying? So it's an African thing. This idea of blaming somebody else for being the spiritual cause of a problem is very African. It's a wrong spirit. Now, please let me say this. Where people dwelt in witchcraft, all right? People fought themselves spiritually. Do you get my point? No, they used to do that. Now, they now carry that thing over into Christianity. Now, there's one thing people don't understand. Later on, I believe that God will give me that opportunity because one thing I just penned and we're going to teach later. I'm going to talk about forms of worship. All right? On Saturdays, I'm going to teach about the forms of worship, how they work, and what is unique about Christianity. I'm going to take time out later to talk about it. All right? But see, even when people used to fight themselves spiritually, fact, you never could afflict an innocent person. No, it wasn't possible. You could not afflict an innocent person. You couldn't. So usually people get into fights in their homes and all of that. I don't know how, but the most important thing is that when Christ came, now first thing before the knowledge of Christianity, if he didn't have an issue with somebody, there's nothing he could do. That's number one. But most importantly, before I say most importantly, another fact was that most issues then had nothing to do with those fights. Are you getting my point? You're going on the road and you fall down. Normal thing is people fall down. And then there are environmental problems that come. A plague will come, hit the whole land. Nobody's afflicting you personally. Yeah, you can participate in the problems of society. But most importantly, that's the point I want to get to. In Christ, those things have what? No power. Most importantly, in Christ, those things have no power. So it's absolutely wrong for a Christian to see keep that African attitude that anything goes wrong, somebody is responsible. I hope you're getting my point. Like I said, you start behaving like a crazy person when you start getting suspicious of everything. You're good on the road. I remember I went to the market one day. I asked one young lady, please help me buy something in the market. If I wanted to buy a woman thing, all right, I was going to use it as a gift. Funny enough, for this, my wife today, you understand? I was going to visit her, so I needed to go bearing
Actually, an engagement ring. Yes, then. So I needed a woman to help me. So I asked this lady, please, I'm going to buy a ring. She knows what it's for. I need help. We stood there. And somebody, she was washing her hand or something. And they splashed water. You know, it can happen, I mean. Say, Banky, let's go. I said, why should we go? Say, they are splashing water. And I looked like, excuse me, they are splashing water. What has that got to do with it? I mean, this is Lagos. I mean, water on you is a blessing. Do you get my point? It's hot. You know, she actually moved away. That they are beginning to splash water. That's what this paranoia, this fear, that's what it does. You start behaving like your head is not correct. And please, that thing has to stop. You are in the bus. Somebody wants to help you carry your child. Say, no, leave. The child will soon fall from that bus. A kind woman said, let me help you. Please give her the child. Arrange your bag properly. There's nothing she's trying to do to him. She's just trying to help. A typical woman who's older than you, that is how they behave. When we used to travel, in fact, there was a time we decided to be nice people, nice guys. This is when we used to go, you know, you go in the commercial bus, a woman enters, she's carrying two children, and then, you know, they don't want to smuggle everybody on one seat. Before I used to, after a while, I said, Frankie, there's no need. Once she settled down, madam, you know, they would say, thank you. I put a small pekin on one lap, then she carries the other one, and we'll take the john. I've never eaten anybody's chat. Do you follow my point? But you know, all the people that agreed for such offers, they didn't go to certain churches. If they did, lie. He said, don't worry, I'm okay. You're not okay. He said, don't worry, I said, I'm okay. And you don't want to start fighting in trying to help somebody. What am I going to say? Please, as a child of God, if God sends you a blessing that collect it, He wants to help you keep the child while you arrange your bag, do that. Say, thank you, man. And if you are the one carrying two children, let her hold that one until you get to your own bus stop. Tie the other one for back, collect her. Madam, God bless you, man. What if it's a witch? So? That's the point. So? So? There is nothing she can do. Absolutely what? Nothing. Please, there's something I said before. Let me say it again and I'll close. I think I've made my point for today. We're not reading the scripture I wanted to read. It happens once in a while. We'll get back to our message another time. I wanted to make a point, right? Now, the point just vanished from my head now. What was I saying before that? Don't worry, it will come back. Let me just read the scripture that we're reading. Oh, the Lord is good. I believe that fear has left our hearts, amen? Our children of God, we are not allowed to... See, you displease God if you are afraid of satanic forces. You displease God if you are afraid of these powers of darkness. People have tried to make it look like I don't know they exist. More like I don't care. My Jesus exists much more than they. That's what I know. He's much more powerful. I'm seated in Christ Jesus. You are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's the point. You are seated far above principalities and powers. And bear that in mind. And that's what I'm trying to explain. All right. The Lord is good. If I remember that thing I wanted to say, I just escaped. I was about to say, this just vanished from my mind. But... if I remember it, I'll say it, then we close. Now, this is what we do with prayer to ensure that we are aligned with the will of God. I went into all of that by saying that, see, many people forget that there is nothing that Satan can do to you if he has nothing in you. There is nothing. So what God does, the way God protects you, is not by hiding you, don't tell your neighbor, no. It is by ensuring, do you understand? That the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in you. And you have to cooperate with him. He says not to give the devil any chance. So you have to cooperate that Satan must have no chance in your life. That's it. And you see, that's why in the matter of prayer, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We talked about that the other time. This issue of delivering us from evil. But what I want to talk about today, like I said, is how we overcome temptation. How we overcome temptation. Now, the first key, let me just introduce that. After that, we'll close on time today. I just feel like I've said what I'm supposed to say. Maybe that's why I didn't remember that thing. The way it just... Does it happen to you? It does. Are you sure? Okay, so I'm normal. Okay, assuming you are normal, that's it though. Who else does it happen to here? What are you thinking? Do you pay house rent? Do you buy fuel? You don't have a wife? It's not this assignment of civic education and cool. Business studies, Auntie Joma. Why is he forgetting things? That means I can understand. That means problems I can understand. He has to run like two ministries, run a home, travel, go here, honor invitations, and say, come and listen to me. That is remembering anything at all is a miracle. That chief is there now. I'm not even sure he knows where he's seated. But you must remember. In fact, the one I forget, you remember for me. The Lord is good. So like I was saying, so what we have to cooperate with God to ensure that Satan does not have anything in us. Now, from the scripture we read, we can see that one of the ways by which you overcome temptation is what? Prayer. And we're going to look at it later. We'll look at how Jesus handled it. People just assume that because he was the Son of God, he could not have sinned, which is not true. You know, the Bible says that he resisted sin effectively. Because if he could not have sinned, then there was no temptation that came upon him that we can say that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He could have sinned. But how did he handle it? He handled it with prayer. How did he handle it? He handled it with, listen to this, fear. He handled it with the fear of God. He knew the implication of his falling into sin for one moment. That would make him an ineffective lamb for our own, as an offering for our own sins. So he understood that implication. Are you getting my point? So that drove him to the place of prayer. That drove him to the place of prayer so that with a, let me put it this way, with a strong passion in prayer, God always answers. Are you getting my point? A lot of things that people don't, God doesn't answer for people is because they really are not serious about it. They're not serious about it. A lot of sins that people fall for, okay, is because they believe there is an option. You know, the other day, one guy was analyzing, there's this guy who climbs walls. You know, he climbs walls. So one man said, he can't climb the kind of wall that guy climbs. You know, they call it free solo. You climb a very high, that's a wall. Okay, I meant rock, mountains, you know, cliffs. The guy will climb with no rope, with nothing. You know, something is, he was making a big, there was a big one about him about 2 weeks ago. Because he climbed one of the tallest buildings in the world outside without anything. No rope, nothing. Just his bare hands. The only assistance he has is his chalk, where he used to keep his hand dry so that it doesn't slip. And they climbed the tallest, that's Taipei 101. Which one of, at the time was the tallest building in the world. One of the tallest buildings in the world. Anytime I watch it until now, there's a way my legs get a tremor. Especially my thighs. I don't know why. Maybe I feel like I'm falling. Because the man got to the dome, the small sphere of that thing, all right? The small dome. And he stood on it. And he stretched his hand and looked around. So one guy was analyzing it. There's one place he climbed. They call it El Capitan. I think he's the only person I'm aware that done free solo on it. The other person that I read about tried it a few years after him, or is it before him? That one dropped and died. It's normal. Dropping and dying there is normal. So it's not like a strange thing. He's good to feel bad. He's a young guy, 20-something. He dropped and died. This guy did it. He climbed the whole thing, bare hands. And when he said, can you do that? He said, squirrels do it all the time. I said, this is a squirrel. Someone was analyzing it. He said, I can never do that. And he's a rock climber. He said, I can't do it. He said, imagine that you are going for an Olympic level sport, that you either get gold medal or die. So that's how it is. He said, nobody should do that kind of thing. He's a mountain climber, he's a rock climber. He climbs all kinds of things. He said, but I will never do free solo on it. He said, that's a place that has no margin for error. There's no margin for error. Go on, if you watch it, then you wonder, did this guy really do this? If he gets dizzy, he dies. If a rock falls free, he dies.
If a snake bites him, he has to pull out his hand suddenly. He dies. You see, there are so many things that are guaranteed to kill him. And when I was talking about it, it's like, it's not so difficult. That every step of the way is choreographed. They were showing, they were videoing him, you know, they were looking at it. He said, I can tell, he said, if you go there, I will tell you how to climb that place. That I can tell you. Boss, you're on your own. No. What I'm talking about it is that, do you know that if I miss it, I die attitude? They asked him, are you not afraid? He said, well, like, he had already faced the idea of dying many times, so he used that one to encourage himself. There's a way the guy, when the guy is answering, you're wondering, like, is this guy okay? But this one I'm making, do you know if we have that attitude towards sin, do and die, you'll be amazed at how much we can overcome. That's why I'm talking about it. The man was analyzing it, saying that, that this fellow, he can't afford to make, that's how Jesus handled it. That's how Jesus handled it. And that's why he could. If you realize the gravity, the effect of sin in your life, you'll be amazed at what you can overcome. You'll be amazed. Let me give this one as an illustration, then I close it. Once I do that one, we pray, and then we'll go. I will continue this teaching on temptation next time. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pull it out. Now, the question has been asked, and me, when I was growing up too, until a few years ago, I couldn't take it that it was literal. I used to think that what he meant was, you see, the hand represents, you know, when pastors want to deceive you, we'll twist it until Jesus is confused. Is it me you are quoting or somebody else? When I say pastor, sometimes twist some things, you'd be wondering like, Lord, please excuse me, I want to ask you a question. Is it you he's quoting? Because we can't agree that this really could have been true. But now God has helped me to understand. Jesus meant what he said. When he said, remove your eyes, the reason why you think is painful or is not doable is that you don't know what the loss of the eyes is denying you of in life. If you know what you are losing because of it, you will gladly let it go. He said his right hand, right? If you know what that hand is costing you, you will cut it. However, this is another thing that the Lord helped me to understand. That's what I teach to people. Now, let us assume, forget what is costing you and all of that for a moment. Let's just think about the fact that I do this or I don't. Okay? If you realize that the consequence of doing this is that you will cut your own hand. Not that, you know, because if you're a thief and Sharia, you depend on being caught. That is like, you hope you can escape. If you were certain they will catch you, there will be no thief. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do you get my point? Yes. Yeah, yeah. Those who go commit adultery under the days of Moses, they were hoping for what? Escape. That I will not be caught. They did not want to be stoned. They were hoping that they will not be caught. But if you are the one that Jesus said, if you touch that thing, you will have to cut off your hand. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
At that time, you will realize the amount of strength available to resist. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
If you understood, okay, the importance, that is the what will happen, that if you are so certain that this, so I will have to remove my eyes, you will be amazed that you won't have to remove it. I don't know whether you are catching my point. Yeah. So, was Jesus literal? Yes. He meant it. But when you believe him, you won't need to remove your eyes. Did you catch the way I explained it? Was Jesus literal about removing your eye? Yes, he was. Why you have not been able to stop is that you don't believe him. If you believed him that this eye, I will have to gouge it out, then you'll be amazed that you can put off the computer screen. You can refuse to turn, no matter who's ringing a bell. Because you know, once I turn like this, boom! See, we'll talk about it again next time. A major motivation, all right, for overcoming temptation. No, sorry. I chose my words wrongly. A major power for, how do I explain this now? Please, give me words. I want to use motivation. That's the same thing as motivation now. Okay, one major strength you will have, do you get my point, to overcome temptation, okay, is understand the consequences of iniquity in this life. Let me just put it like that. A major motivation, let me use that word this time around, for overcoming temptation is understanding consequences. A lot of people don't believe that God punishes sin. They believe that, don't worry, I'll tell him sorry. Next time I'm going to talk about that. Once you say, I will tell him sorry, that sorry is never accepted. Did you hear what I said? Once you feel, I will tell him sorry, don't bother. Just go and meet the Lord. Say, how many strokes? If he says 39, say, Lord, please, can you make it just 15? He says, no, it must be 30 at least. Ask him, can you give me grace to take the 30 lashes and not die in the process? Because that 30 he will give you. What's the sin you committed? I will tell him sorry. You planned for it. So you know it is wrong. You know it is a sorry thing. So God says, why are you not telling me sorry? You plan to make a fool of me. You plan to tempt the Lord thy God. You plan to mock God. That, if you understood this, anything that you have to say sorry for, you probably wouldn't do it. Let's bow down heads. I think I've said what I'm supposed to say today. We'll go into this issue of temptation next time. Just give the Lord thanks for the power to overcome temptation. But most importantly, please give the Lord thanks for victory that you have in Christ Jesus. I want you to give the Lord thanks for the victory that you live above sin and walk above the devil. Thank God. I need you to say this. Thank God. I don't care who's a witch around me. I think that's what we need to address today. I finished addressing this about 15 minutes ago. I don't care who it is. Me, I have deliverance in Christ. I have victory in Christ. My home will be kept in Christ Jesus. Say to the Lord, thank you. A false prophet will not scatter my home. Say that to the Lord. Thank you. A false prophet will not scatter my home. Give the Lord thanks for the person that needed to hear this today. Say, Lord, I thank you that you sent a word to deliver this young man. He's been married for just a few years. And one prophet was about to destroy his home for him, for his own personal gain. Say, Lord, thank you because you have brought deliverance. Thank the Lord for everyone that these words will bring deliverance to their homes. And pray this prayer for yourself for just 1 minute. Say, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from doing evil.
Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, deliver me from doing evil. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Eternal Father, I submit myself. Deliver me from doing evil. In the name of Jesus, help me to be continually upright before you. Help me to be continually upright before you. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Cause my life to be transformed by the words that I have heard, by the revelation of your truth. Cause my life to be transformed. Let my life be transformed. Oh Lord, give me the revelation of Jesus that helped him to stand upright without sin. Lord, let me have that same revelation. Let me have that same revelation so that I can walk upright. Give me the grace, Lord, to live above sin and to walk above the devil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, Eternal Father. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for light. Thank you because we go forth, yes, with the power to live above sin and to walk above the devil. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. There's a release of grace in our midst. Yes, there's a release of grace to every person who is listening. Blessed be your name.